Hi everyone, and welcome to Video Gaming is Good. This is episode 14. I'm your co-host, Darren, aka Emo, and...
I'm Lee Sklozza, and now the Icebreaker.
The Icebreaker?
Yeah, remember earlier? I'm the Icebreaker. I clear out all the crowds.
We'll go into that a bit later on, I guess. He's also known as Ice in Wii Sports, but we'll talk about that a bit later as well, too. First off, we'd like to say happy birthday to Pete and Aaron. They both recently turned 28, which is old in our standards, I guess.
Happy birthday.
Yep, happy birthday for both of them. Aaron is currently in Sunny Island. I think it's sunny, probably not, but anyway, we wish him all the best over there and hope everything is going smoothly for you. And just on the weekend, Pete invited us to spend a day with him. So what did we get up to with Pete on the weekend, Lee?
Well, we played a game called Super Golf, which is sort of in between with, like, proper golf and mini golf. And that was a lot of fun. It used sort of like bigger balls, so oversized clubs, and the holes are about anywhere between 50 and 120 meters. Yeah, that was good. It was fun. I mean, I came second somehow, so that was awesome.
You were leading for a while, I think, and then near the end we caught up. So yeah. Everybody had a good run at that. What else did we do? We went to Peace Place and we played on the Wii. Surprise, surprise.
I played with a cat.
Oh, yes, Pete's got a nice little cat, which Lee kind of spent the whole day playing with. And then at the end of the day, we went to the casino where I think nearly everyone lost money. I didn't gamble at all, so I guess I came out on top.
Ammo's smart.
And once again, thanks to ChrisJad3 and Excalibur for the comments over the last episode. Thank you very much for taking the time to write those to us. We appreciate it. And once again, what's our motto, Lee?
Oh, shit, I forgot it. Oh, no, it's we're not pros.
Yes, we're not pros. Thank you very much. And I might have to bleep out whatever Lee just said. Probably not. Anyway, that's we're not pros, and we're also the two ugliest guys on the net making a podcast that only a handful of people listen to. And enough blabbering on for the introduction. I guess we'll get straight on to the articles, and the first article goes to Lee.
Okay, it's the first article. Yeah, everyone knows, but now there's a reason. It's the article is titled "A Reason Why Video Games Are Hard to Give Up." See, now people go, "Why are you always playing that game?" And go, "Well, here you go. There's a deeper theory than the fun of playing," says Richard M. Ryan, and it's basically the pull, according to these people, is that it's their capacity to engender feelings of autonomy, competence, and relatedness. So basically, you feel like you're the dude on the screen. There you go. So that's why you can't stop playing whatever it is you enjoy playing. And, now you know, but, as long as you keep your video game usage under control, where's the problem? You know, now you know why you like to play it, go play it.
Yes, that's true. It. And, I guess, you know, I guess in a way you feel good about it. You also goes back to the basic thing of what we were talking about before, how you can do certain things in games that you can't do in real life. And, you know, so take example, most of us won't get a chance to fly a jet, but in video games we can sort of get the closeness to it. So that's one way we want to play it, and maybe hard to give up, as some people might have a liking for jets. Other games you might talk about, such as
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. Well, I won't really go into that one, but I guess Lee has got the urge to do certain things in that game, which we don't condone, of course, but I guess you know what that's all about. And other games is also for the social aspect, for such as, I guess, the big hit now is World of Warcraft, which I just read has gone past 8 million accounts. So, you know, a lot of people play that, and that's probably because one factor is the social aspect of playing with a group of friends or making friends, and I guess that's one of the big parts why it's hard to give up, as instead of having to, you know, go out, or I guess you can go out and mix with friends, but this way you get to mix with friends around the world who you probably never even met in real life, so that's another way it's hard to give up.
There you go.
Yeah, but nice little article. Proves to the point we know what we're talking about from all those years ago, so that's it.
We're not crazy. Okay. Next article.
Okay, next article is over to me now. This is, I don't know when I first read this, it's a bit weird, but I'll get on to it. Titled, Grand Slam Tennis That's Out of This World. And what this is talking about is that IBM have created a virtual tennis center complex inside the virtual world called Second Life. I'm sure many of you know Second Life is an online game where people can basically, you know, do what they like. Some, you know, basically a world that is kind of similar to real life, but a big thing for it has going for it is that you can make money. You know, if you make something in the game and sell it, people will buy it, and you can make, you know, money out of that. And it's, in a way, people are making a living out of it. Well, enough about Second Life, but this article says that the data from tennis games played on Rod Laver Arena during the Australian Open will be fed nanoseconds onto the virtual tennis court in the game. So people in Second Life can watch the game from the spectator seat, or even from a tennis player's point of view. So you can sort of get into the head of what the player is doing thanks to this. The article also goes into how something like this can be used for business, such as in this virtual world, there's a tennis shop in the game where you can purchase a shirt for real money for use in the real world. So many might believe this is how gaming is becoming more integrated into mainstream life, and it's good for everyone involved. What do you think about this, Lee?
Well, yeah. Okay. I have to say, first thing that struck me, I was quite impressed by how they were going about just the technical aspect of doing this. You know, I'm quite impressed by, you know, the amount of effort, and, you know, I have some degree of respect for how much effort and time and whatever they put into making this work. As for, you know, Second Life becoming like another sort of business ground, I don't know. That's pretty cool. I mean, I guess, you know, if you can stroll around your virtual world and buy a shirt and a coffee and a, I don't know, book, whatever people buy online, that's pretty cool. And, you know, if you can do it, but if you can sort of replicate the shopping experience a lot of people in the normal world really seem to enjoy, you know, you could probably do pretty well off of that. I mean, I'm not much of a shopper, but, you know, I'd probably, you know, I mean, especially if there was something special about the shirt, like it was, you know, cool, or, you know, glowed in the dark, or I don't know what I'm talking about. But I like the idea. I can't say I'm totally wrapped, but it's a good idea.
Yeah, I guess in a way it's a good idea. To me, it seems more like a gimmick in a way, how, you know, instead of having to turn on the TV to watch the tennis match, people want to, you know, sit in front of a computer and see, I guess, in a way, the graphics moving about and all that. But
there is that to it as well, yeah.
maybe you're not, you don't have access to watch the game live, so in some sort of way you can relay the game live, but through Second Life. But then, I don't think many people will, take this on as being such a big thing. But, you know, it's a nice little interesting fact there. So, but the thing that I'm more interested about is that this could be somehow used for business. You know, it's like inside a game, you can purchase something and you get it for real later on. You know, I guess that it all happened years ago with e-business, how everybody's talking about, you know, using the internet and all that, but now this sort of goes a bit more further, using a game on the internet to do business. Well, enough of that interesting article, I'd have to say, but we'll move things along, and this third article is up to Lee.
This article is great. I'd like to propose that David Williamson Schaefer, I don't know, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is the man for all eternity.
I'll agree with that.
The article is Professor, not just some crappy teacher, Professor pushes for video games in schools.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, video games in schools. Man, I would have paid attention if they had that. Sure. I probably wouldn't have failed either. So this guy, he reckons that well, the way schools are at the moment, they were designed in the late 1800s to prepare people for life in industrial America, but, you know, basically any industrialized country, and that's, you know, the way it's worked. However, it doesn't really fit with the technology-soaked world that we have today, and you should prepare children using what they're good at, which is play video games. You know, they get that really fine motor skill, you know, down pat. They can use that to, you know, for jobs, you know, all sorts of stuff, research, military, you know, anything, medicine. I said medicine, I don't know. So, you know, may as well harness those skills and use them for good instead of just constantly going, oh, those damn kids and they're whippersnappers and they're reading their books and, oh, I don't know, they're jitterbugging away, wasting their life. Why don't they get back and get a shovel and dig a hole? So no more whinging like that. Davo, he reckons the way to go, video games in schools. And, yeah, there's some places, Britain, Singapore, they're already sort of backing efforts like this. Of course, as we, you know, most people know, pretty common knowledge, the U.S. military uses video games in their training of soldiers. And there you go. So, you know, great article. David's the man. And if you know, this should be put in tomorrow. I'll take my old Nintendo up to my old high school tomorrow if that's what it takes. You know, a bit of Mario and Duck Hunt.
I'm sure we all want something like this to happen. I guess soon rather than later, but I wish it would happen back in the time when I was at school, you know.
Yes.
I remember back, I think in high school, the closest thing we had something like this was some kind of online simulation of the Australian Stock Exchange where, you know, you do paper trading, so it's not real money, you just, you know, trade on paper and you work out if you made profit or you made a loss, and over time you see how much you've done. So that's probably the closest you got to it. But that sounded rather boring and also too involved, you know, because
it's not really a video game, is it?
Yeah, it's not really. It's not really a video game. You're really participating in the stock trading, but you're not actually using money. So it's not a video game. But you did use computers, so I guess that's the closest thing we had. But I guess I was looking at some of the games that they had on the site. Well, there's a link on that article to some games they've got. And they got one about Digital Zoo, how you go about biomechanical engineers, something about urban science, where you become, you know, planning the urban areas. There's journalism and a couple of other games, but I don't think you can get these games at the moment. They're only used for testing, so maybe in the future we can get them in schools and see how it goes. But for kids to become more involved in, I guess, their education through the use of video games, I guess that's the way to go. As we all know, video games is a big thing around the world right now. It surpasses even the movie industry. And I'm sure to get kids involved in something like video games is more attractive than just a blank piece of paper or a big, thick book.
Yep.
That's definitely true. And you know, I'm sure I would have done better if I could had something like this. I might have been an urban planner. You never know, but
I think one class they should run in conjunction with this is how to spot a rubbish game. That way we'll breed a generation of game developers and make games that just always good. There's just no suck games. That'd be awesome.
No suck games. Well, we don't want anything else to suck, I guess, in that way. Oh, and speaking of suck, I guess I'll lead on to the final article.
Whoa, classy segue there.
Yeah, classy segue. I got it today. Okay, this final article for this episode is titled, funnily enough, PlayStation 3 Supply Surpasses Demand. I'll say that again. I'll say that again just to make it clear. PlayStation 3 Supply Surpasses Demand. And what this article talks about, if we can just find what I wrote, it says, like, basically just the Xbox 360 took several months after its release for it to become readily available in stores, you know, where you could walk into a store and there'll be one on the shelf so you can get it. And the Nintendo Wii is following suit, where at the moment the demand is more than the supply, so you can't get, if you walk into the store today, more than likely you won't be able to get it, even if you try to find a Nintendo nunchuck controller to you. We tried looking for one, but you couldn't. And, you know, Nintendo Wii is going to be following the same suit, so wait for a few months and then you can probably find one in the store. But on the other hand, the Sony PlayStation 3 has gone the other way.
On the other hand?
Yes. Quickly after its release, the stock of PlayStation 3's in store is large. Now, this is not because that Sony has caught up on production, but no. This is because no one is buying them. Now, the article goes on to say, at a particular store, they made a note of how many calls a day they were getting about people asking the Nintendo Wii and the PlayStation 3. So, you know, probably asking, have you got some in stores or not? And the Nintendo Wii won, surprisingly. The count was 75 for the Nintendo Wii versus 2 for the PlayStation 3.
What were those numbers again there, Ammo? What was that?
75?
Yeah.
To 2.
Yeah, a bit of a difference there.
Yeah, a bit of a difference. You know, PlayStation 3 couldn't even match its own number of 3. You know, it can beat 2. So, you know, it's a bit funny. Well, not funny, I guess, if you've got, stocks in Sony. But it also mentions how the PS3...
I'm biased. This is hilarious.
Yeah. We're all biased here, but I'll carry on. It also mentions how the PlayStation 3s are being returned to store. Now, this is not because there's anything faulty with it. I'm sure it all works well. But this is because people bought them before in hopes of making a quick profit on eBay. But the problem is, no one is buying them on eBay anymore. So, after people buy them, they're stuck with it, and, well, they don't want it, so they have to refund it back at store. So, I know, this article, even though it's a laugh for us, I guess, in a way, because we don't really see the PlayStation 3 as something we want to spend our money. But, for a quick, I guess, for a console to quickly catch up on its supply... it's not really good. So
not a good sign.
Not a good sign. I know. I'll let Lee handle on. You know, talk about what he thinks about this article, which is sure to be good.
This article brings a smile to my face. I love it. Much more than a smile than Professor what's his name from before. This article is hilarious. It's just they got photos there. Got this mountain of junk that no one's buying, and then. There's nothing where the Wii is because everyone's gone home and bought them. They bought the right console. And, all those people, you know, because the PS2 came out, and they're like, yeah, I bought this PS2 for $200 and I sold it for $400 million on eBay, and I'm going to do that with the PS3. Got to refund it. And you can just see the guy at the shop sitting there. He's like, oh, yeah, so we sold, one PS3 yesterday. That's pretty good. And the following day, the guy comes back and he gets his money back. Oh, we got all the PS3. Oh, why don't I buy 75 of this piece of junk? It's great. It's hilarious. I'm going to be giggling. That Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns is giggling for like 2 weeks, that's going to be me for this. Next week, next podcast, I'm going to be sitting there going... yeah, but bad luck for Sony because they're also pegging their hopes on this console to try and get a Blu-ray... DVD player in everybody's home, and it just ain't coming off. So,
yep.
I read some stuff before the PS3 came out that this was Sony's equivalent of betting the farm. Oh, they make other decent products. I hope they haven't overdone it this time. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, and we can't say what exactly caused this shock. For PlayStation 3, maybe because the Nintendo Wii is just that good that everybody wants it, and or maybe because the PlayStation 3 hasn't got that many games that people want. But I guess time will tell to see how things carry on. But at the moment, I think Nintendo has got like a 2-to-1 selling ratio or something like that, or probably more than that, I'm guessing. But I read somewhere like the supply of Nintendo Wii just can't keep up with demand. But anyway, that's it for the articles, I guess. We'll quickly move on.
Radio.
And this is episode topic. Once again, our great inventor of names or of article names or whatever is Lee. And he has made this episode topic title, and I'll let Lee tell us what it is.
Okay, yeah, excuse the bad grammar in this. Perhaps the greatest event of 2007 will not be elections or world peace or solving the drought or families reuniting, or little kittens being retrieved out of drains. No, it'll be the games.
Oh, even rhymes at the end. Very nice. but we couldn't really think of a topic this time because around, beginning of the year, not many, things in the gaming industry happens because as after Christmas, everybody's, taking a relax after selling millions and millions of games and consoles after Christmas, except one company starting with S and ending with Oni. Yeah. But, we just thought, hey, we'll talk about some of the games coming out this year that both Lee and I want to get our hands on or, just want to see and see how they play. So, I guess I'll start the ball rolling. One game that I want to see this year, which comes out, I believe. Well, they haven't actually released a set date, but I just said this year because they don't want to get anybody's hopes up just in case anything happens. But it's Crysis. And for those who have played Far Cry, which came out a few years ago, same team that made Far Cry making Crysis, but this is not a sequel. This is a totally new storyline, new main character, new game, and basically goes into how saying some alien thing has landed in an island near North Korea, I think, and the soldiers from North Korea has gone and occupied this island to, you know, take a look at what's happened. You play as a member of U.S. Delta Force to go in and check out what this thing could be. And then as you go in, all of a sudden, the alien device shoots a beam into the sky, which in turn creates this huge, ever-growing sphere around the center of the island, which causes everything in its wake to suddenly be frozen over. So it's your job to go in and, you know, try to solve the situation and blah, blah. Same thing as usual, you become the hero, I guess, in the end. But what this game has going for it is its graphics, and apparently uses DirectX 10. Oh. And one thing I've seen from videos is that the graphics are out of this world, I guess, in a way, you want to say that. For example, when you walk past a tree of leaves, the leaves or branches actually wrap around you. If you, you know, like in real life, if you walk past a tree or a bush, and that's pretty, you know, amazing in this day and age. Normally, when you walk past a tree in a game, you just go through the bushes, don't you?
Yeah.
Other things is that what was that? So, I guess in a way, you know, debris flying up looks realistic. You got. Trying to think, what did I see? Explosions look pretty awesome. Nearly everything is destructible in the game, so it's also got positional destruction. So, for example, a car, if you shoot a tire out, it will burst the tire, and then the vehicle will drive, you know, worse off accordingly to the tire being blown up.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. You can also shoot the gas tank for vehicles, and then the car will blow up Hollywood style. So, you know, big explosion. And I don't know, I guess I can't explain much about the game graphically wise because we are just an audio podcast. But yeah, if you've got a time, take a look at some screenshots or maybe some video gameplay of Crysis, and I'm sure you'll be amazed. Okay, Lee, what you want to see this year?
Well, I'm looking forward to Spore.
Ooh, the next game from Real Right, is it?
Yep, as you know, I like SimCity a lot.
Huh.
I like it a lot, like too much. And the Spore looks great. And it's sort of like, I mean, I think I talked about this last time, it's sort of like Sim Everything.
Yep.
That sounds fantastic. And what I really like the sound of is that, like, if I make some sort of, you know, rabbit with a third ear and that's really cool or whatever, I can upload it to the Spore servers or whatever, and then someone else can just get that thing and import it into their world, universe, whatever.
Cool.
And because it sort of works on sort of a evolutionary type thing, they can incorporate like my 30-eared bunny into it, and it, you know, it'll do something completely different to their game. So that I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the level of interaction, the sharing. But I'm also a glutton for punishment. Apparently this year that game, I don't know quite how to say it. It's like it's Stalker, but each letter has a dot after it.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's maybe coming out. It looks great. It sounds great. I like a game set in a dystopian future or dystopian now, however you want to look at it. Maybe it'll come out. Maybe not. If the pigs start flying, it might come out. But so looking forward to those two. I haven't actually got too many titles, you know, down that I'm really looking forward
same,
to.
Same, yeah.
But I'm sort of looking forward to a few, RTS, a couple of RTSs coming out, looking for a good...
Is he going to mention ones? The one I'm looking forward to as well?
Well, I'm looking forward to Command & Conquer.
Oh, yes, he said it.
Oh, yeah, you get the micro. yeah, well, you know, I bought you know, generals because I like pure ownage. That's how that's how suggestible I am. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It looks superb.
If you've seen video clips of it, let me tell you, it'll blow you away. One thing I first noticed when I saw that, like, if anything was on fire, you know, the fire has that what's that effect? The shimmer effect or the mirage effect you get, you know. That looks pretty sweet, and it also introduces a new third race into the game. So
yeah, it's going to be pant-wettingly good, that game. So I'm looking forward to a couple of good RTSs. Of course, you know, there'll be a few Dynamite FPSs coming out. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward, I'm thinking pretty heavily about getting a Wii, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that can do. So yeah, that's sort of what 2007 will hold.
He's been influenced by playing on Pete's Wii, is
yeah,
it?
Yep, very influenced.
Nintendo has worked at her charm. What other games I'm looking forward to? Well, one big one, I guess, I'm a fan of the franchise, is Unreal Tournament. And this year they're bringing out Unreal Tournament 2007.
No way, because it's 2007?
Yes.
Oh man, I could work for them. I could figure this out. I'll do it for half the price.
Oh, bargain. Let's see. Well, if you all know Unreal Tournament, you know the big old game came out in 1999, and then they brought out 2003, which was, I guess, okay. Then 2004, which was basically 2003 on crack, because they increased they introduced the Onslaught mode with vehicles and other new things. But this one, 2007, they got some new modes. They got like a conquest mode, which is like gaining territory or somewhere. I'm not exactly sure how to put it. They're also trying to introduce destructible environments for overhang passes of rocks and all that. New vehicles. Basically, it's like two races in the game now. So you got the human, or the sort of human race, and then the other alien race. So they got different vehicles altogether, and the alien race has a tripod-looking vehicle, I guess, sort of from the War of the Worlds, and it shoots this massive laser beam which can basically tear through vehicles and infantry. The graphics, of course, I'm guessing everyone will know by now, it uses Unreal Engine 3 graphics, so it looks pretty sweet, and I don't know, I'm not sure exactly sure how to say, because I haven't seen much of it, only like played one video clip of it, but the way it's going, and the way we all know about Unreal Tournament, it should be, you know, excellent when it comes out.
And I'll get killed by AmmoBot.
Oh, here we go again.
damn AmmoBot.
It's not a World War II game, so I won't be, you know, owning it up, man.
AmmoBot works in any game. I've seen it in action.
Hey, man, I've seen you play Unreal Tournament 2004, and you can hold your own good enough against the rest of us, so...
Except when AmmoBot's there.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm trying to think what other games I'm looking for. Lee already mentioned Command & Conquer 3, which I never really got into Command & Conquer games before, but until when Generals came out, I got into that quite a bit. I guess I liked the storyline, how it was America versus China versus the Middle East. Now they're bringing out Command & Conquer 3, which, you know, looks pretty sweet, so hopefully that will be out sometime soon. I think it's end of March they're planning that, so not too long to wait. I'm trying to think what other games I'm waiting for. Spore, I guess, in a way. Yes, I'll take a look at that. Not really much of a sim type player, but it's a very interesting concept. I have to shout out kudos to Will Wright for bringing out another interesting concept that no one else has thought about, so that's a way to go. What else am I looking for? Stalker. I've kind of given up hope on that game ever since it's been delayed, you know. Probably just as long as that next Duke Nukem game, so
I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find out when it comes out. I guess that's about it. We'll finish off this topic because it's kind of boring for everyone listening right now. I don't think they want to hear what we're waiting for.
In 2 weeks my parents will be gone, and I'll think up a topic of topics for 2007.
Okay, so I'm sure we'll all be looking forward to that. So let's see. The next part of this show, the same as usual, is what are we playing? And, okay, Lee, what games have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing quite the eclectic mix of games this week.
Well,
Fort week. Again, going through with the Install Cup. My island is getting there, mate. Just finished the fun. I was so happy, you know, because like all the buildings, they go up to level 20 maximum, right? Except for one, that goes up to level 30. That's your storeroom. And I read to get this statue to make your storeroom go higher, you have to finish up like everything. Everything's got to be maxed out. And even the research that you do in the laboratory. And these things, like, I was at level 6, and it was taking 6 hours to do one and a ton of resources. And I was sitting there thinking, this is going to take me years to get this done. Then one day, I had four things sitting there on level 9, and I thought, okay, well, I'll do one. Did it. Turns out, you only got to go to level 10 on the research. So, just as of 5 minutes ago, all the research is done. I've got a couple of more buildings to upgrade, and then my island is ready to start dominating. So, yeah, Lee's back in town. Anyway, what else have I been playing? Played a bit more Bully, which for some strange reason in Australia land is called Canis Canem Edit. I don't know why. Uh-huh. It's in Latin. It probably stands for Bully.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's going good. Still plugging away at that. Mm-hmm. Saturday, played Wii Sports. Again, my arm hurts. Not hurting anymore. I had my bizarro bowling technique that no one seems to explain, but it works.
True.
And, yep, and I've also been playing the game for the connoisseur.
Dead or Alive,
Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Interesting. I'm sure we all know what the game is about, but what is it about the girls from Dead or Alive playing volleyball, right?
Well, that is part of the total aspect of the game, yes. Oh. That is a small, well, large... In fact, it's the whole game.
It's the whole game. The only thing smaller in that game is probably the bikinis. That's it.
Well, no, you got to buy the small ones. You get that by playing volleyball. See, that's the drive to get you to play the game. See, if you just, like, just put them on there, you just go like, oh, okay, what's the volleyball there for? See, that's why it's there. I figured it out. I'll have to keep playing it just to figure out more.
So, what, are you playing it just to work out to that special dental floss bikini or something like that?
Well, that is my ultimate goal in life, but... And the other more mundane day-to-day goals, just playing it because, you know, to work towards the ultimate life goal, you know. So that's, yeah. But I play the volleyball because it is kind of fun and I'm pretty crappy at it. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Ah, very interesting, mate. what have I been playing? Well, I bought a game recently from EB. Yes, it's a shocker. I finally... you know, after all this time going to EB to look at games and walking out not buying anything, I finally did buy one. But the thing is that the game was in the bargain bin, so it was for $9.92 or something like that, but it was with 25% off. So it turned out to be like $7.45.
Oh, no rounding on that one.
No. It's called Sacred, but the package was called Sacred Gold, whereas it was the original Sacred game with the expansion and then some other modification to it. So, you know, the whole game of it for, you know, $7.50 basically. It's an RPG game, so think back to, like, you know, Diablo or Neverwinter Nights or Dungeon Siege. You know, same thing as usual. You get to choose the class you want. I think the classes, you got Gladiator, you got Dwarf, you got some Dark Elf, Wood Elf, you got Vampirus, whatever you want to call it. And one class called Seraphim or Sephin, I don't know. Basically, it's like an angel, but it's basically a chick that's wearing a bikini in high heels, nice, who has rings, and she can kick ass. And there's supposed to be some angelic, you know, ancestry behind them, but they look okay. But I went the dwarf route. Good thing about the dwarfs, I guess they can shoot at the guns, as in most RPG games they can do, you know, for example, World of Warcraft. But the special thing I liked about a dwarf is that they get a massive cannon on the back, so they wear it like a backpack. And, you know, if you upgrade it, well, not upgrade it, but, you know, learn the skills, you can use the cannon like a proper cannon, you know, with a cannonball, I guess, in a way. I can use it as a mortar grenade to shoot up mortars. flamethrower. You can drop landmines, and that's, you know, I guess it's not the conventional way or the dwarves, but it's a nice touch. I like it. That's why I'm having so much fun with the dwarves. They're just hilarious.
That would be so useful in real life.
I guess it would. But even for a few bucks, the game came out in 2004. So it's an interesting RPG game. You can play online. It's still got servers for it. You know, can play with anybody you want. And it goes for quite a while. So that's a nice game. I've been, you know, going through it now and then. Other games I'm playing, Rainbow Six Vegas. I still like shooting terrorists in the head and blowing them up.
Did you? I think last time you were playing super godlike mode or whatever.
Realistic mode.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I finally finished on that one. One part of it is really hard. It's like, of course, you know, it's you and your two teammates. You basically take on all of the terrorists or whatever. And one section is you gotta go. Well, you basically corner yourself into a little, a big room, but a little room adjacent to it, wide open. You got your recon guy, the Asian guy, who has to go onto the mainframe to hack into it to get to open some kind of a blast door. And in the meantime, it's up to you and the heavy demolitions guy to, you know, protect him and protect yourselves against about 10 terrorists that come, not all at once, but, randomly, whatever. And it was, a bitch to pass that section. It took me about 10 tries altogether to do that section, because, you know, a couple of shots from a terrorist and you're down already, so that's not good. So,
did you do a little happy dance when you finally passed it?
When I passed it, I was, not really happy dance, but, you know, relieved in a way. But for those out there, I just say, yes, I did a happy dance. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. But, you know, that was interesting. For those who haven't played it yet, let me just tell you that there will be a sequel to it. So we'll be looking forward to that. And hopefully maybe it comes out this year, maybe next year. We don't know what's happening. Another game we're playing is Ultimate Spider-Man, based on the Ultimate Spider-Man comic book or series. And in it, you get to play Spider-Man and Venom. So you alternate between the two. You go through the city of New York and doing quests, missions, and whatnot, and, you know, upgrading your character now and then. Nice little action game in a way, you know, fighting bad guys if you're Spider-Man, and if you're Venom, probably taking out the military. What else have I been playing? And of course, Wii Sports over the weekend. We had the Peach Place to play Wii Sports, which was interesting. Let's just say I love the tennis game, because no one beat me in that. Sean came close to beating me. I think we went down to 3-2 in the games or something like that. I'm not sure, something like that. Yep, that was an interesting game. But what else? Yep, Lee with his marvelous bowling technique.
Adorable.
He's also like, okay, for those who don't know, we just mentioned it, especially for those who do know Lee and haven't seen him in action. Lee's right-handed, but he'll start bowling the ball on the left of the lane, so, you know, really next to the gutter, and he'll swing it so much that it, you know, swings all the way to the right, and sometimes it swings so much to the right it gets to the right gutter without touching any of the pins.
Yeah.
So that's just how great Lee is. And, you know, if he needs to, he can even go start from the right-hand side and swing it to the left. Now, not many people I know can, you know, swing both ways, pardon the pun. But, it helped him a lot. He got a couple of splits, a couple of spares, some strikes. We were all impressed with Lee's superb bowling technique.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's great. The golf in that was, I don't know, interesting in a way. Most of us couldn't do it much, really well, but, you know, as usual, the games in Wii Sports, even though they're not based on a full game, like golf, you don't get 18 holes, and in baseball, you only get 3 innings, but it's a nice game to play now and then. So that's
boxing is fun.
Oh, yeah, boxing. Lee showed us how to box once again, so I never want to get into a fight with him.
There you go.
But, he was punching the guy out and even trying to kick him when he was down, but you understand.
There we go.
Let's see, how are we going for time? Let me just check. Oh, I think we're going to be a really long episode. Sorry for those who are bored already, but we'll move on to the next part. It's called Website of the Show. Yeah. And what's the website of the show, Lee?
The website of the show is called Acts of gourd. Now, I found this site a couple of years ago. Oh, I didn't know how I found it, but it's good. It's about some guy called Gord, and he's in Canada, and he runs a video game shop that rents and sells video games and consoles and miscellany associated bits with consoles. And it's basically a chronicle of the jerks and the retards and the morons that come into his store. Now, you know, I say this because, you know, I work a rubbish retail job, and I get jerks like this, you know, kind of coming in going, what does 18 months mean? You know. So this thing, it just fits. It's great. It's a good read. It's funny. You'll laugh. And if you like laughing, and you better, you go and read this site. There you go. Have a read. You got all these stories. You catches shoplifters, catches morons. It tracks down people, sends their overdue accounts to collections. Then people come in and whinge about being sent to collections. He sends them to collections again. It's good. Read it. It's funny.
Yep, it's something to pass the time. One of those things, I guess, we never thought about until someone actually does it. But it's interesting in a certain way.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, we'll try and wrap things up quickly because unfortunately I think we are dragging on a bit long. Let's see what else. Well, I guess we'll have to leave it for this episode. This is episode 14, as usual. You know, once again, happy birthday to Pete and Aaron. We all hope you guys are having fun with your presents. So whatever you got, don't play too much on your Wii Boys. anything you want to say, Lee?
No.
No, not really. Okay.
Well, yeah, happy birthday.
Oh, had to save the friendship there. for those who didn't get this from the website, I don't know if there's anybody that didn't, but this is from videogamingisgood.podomatic.com. Please put your comments in. I'm sure we'll probably get Chris Judd 3 and Excalibur commenting once again. If you've got any requests for shows, if you've got any ideas for episode topics, please send them in, because we kind of dry on ideas right now.
Yes, please send them in.
Please send them in. I'm sure you probably think of something, especially Excalibur. You know, he's quite a smart cookie, that guy. So
he's not even a sword in a rock.
I guess that's, in a way, we'll wrap things up there. Anything else? Do we have to explain what we mentioned in the introduction?
About what?
I can't remember now. You said something about...
Oh, the icebreaker thing.
Icebreaker thing. Oh, yeah, nicknames. Icebreaker. We'll leave icebreaker. It's a personal thing, I guess, so we'll leave that. But the nickname of Ice. Let's just say, for those who have a Nintendo Wii, you can test this out at home. If you make your character's name Lee, you know, L-E-E, and then from far away, if you move back and look at the name, it looks like Ice. So, Lee kind of thought, whose turn is it? Some guy got Ice. Okay, who's Ice? Goes, wait a minute. That's Lee. That's me. So, from now on, every time we play the Wii, we call him Ice. And I guess that just fits fittingly.
I go to university.
And that's the scary part. Okay, well, thanks for listening, everyone. This has been episode 14 of Video Gaming is Good. We hope we haven't bored you. I think we probably have. And at the look of things, people are probably going to stop listening to us. Oh, well. Anyway, thanks for listening in. I'm Darren, a.k.a. Emo, and...
I'm Lee, also known as Skloza.
And also known as Ice.
Yes.
Definitely. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to catch you next time in a fort week.
Yay, fort week.
Okay, catch you all later. Bye.
Toodaloo.